This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Nick in Babylon. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
I can't do it. We're every caller all week. How you doing? Nick, we are doing sensationally. Move it along. Good morning.
Let's see how you do after this. How do you like those apples?
Get them, Nick. Get them, Nick. I can't take it anymore, though. We're doing fine. If you guys want to start the show all week long spending 10 minutes of how we're doing, I could do that. But I can't take every single caller. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing well. And how are you doing? And how was your day? And how are you doing? I can't take it.
You sure you had an okay weekend?
It was fine.
This is DCR.
And guess what? Carlin's in for Canty, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, now the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. DiPietro, Carlin, and Rothenberg. We don't even have to make a banner adjustment. Chris Carlin in all week. Long time now for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There you go. I'll give it to you at least once more this hour that, Chris, you are in for the other Chris. Good morning.
I mean, I appreciate that. I don't want you to feel any pressure like you're doing it for me.
No, no, no. I think that the people need to know that you're filling in for Canty this week.
Yeah, I think they'll get a pretty good feel pretty quickly that they're not going to get quite the salient analysis that they would get from Chris. They're just going to get me spouting
That's
off.
Enough. That's all we need. That's enough.
It's a lot.
Just all of you is enough. It's a lot.
You bring what you do to the table, and I think that the ratings will go through the roof.
No, I'm right? Just like a fat disembodied head that's here.
We're going to need Dave. Here's the one thing, though, Dave, and I think we all feel this way, maybe outside of you. We're going to need more from you here in the 6 o'clock hour.
Me?
The 5 o'clock hour.
Basically, I don't want to have to bring this up, and we'll get to the Mets in a moment. I got to be honest. I think I carried the 5 o'clock hour. I think without me, that would have been bland and boring and just unmotivating. I think I carried
it. And welcome
it.
Aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked, our maiden voyage.
You can just feel the energy in that podcast is palpable. You can feel it.
The 5 o'clock hour was unbelievable. Thanks to me. Thanks to me.
I appreciate it. I hopped right on your back, and I'm surprised it didn't break in half. You know, honestly.
And how dare you, DiPietro, taking shots at me like that? I mean, you want every call.
Oh, great. How are you? Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm well. And it was your weekend. And what did you do today? And what did you do today?
We're not supposed to ask what everyone did. They just said, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good. I mean, you took the whole weekend off. I figured you'd be fully rested, ready to go on a Monday.
Very rested. But you know what? I can't take it.
Wait a second. You didn't even work on Saturday?
No.
No.
I mean, what are you complaining about? You're screaming and yelling right out of the gate.
It was my anniversary. I'm entitled to take a day off if I want
to. Of course you are. But I don't understand why you're so cranky then. I don't get it.
Because I've reached my breaking point. I can't take any more asking of, how are you guys doing? We're doing fine. I don't need 50 people to ask the same question. Every single call, it's monotonous, it's boring, it's bland.
Now I'm rooting for it. Now I want every caller to ask for it. This is what's wrong with me.
Good. You know what? When they call and say, guys, how you doing? I want you to have a different answer every time. Well,
you think I can't?
My bunions. Will. Well, I mean, how am I? I'm doing great. I had an apple pie this weekend. It was delicious. Well, I want a different answer every single time from you now.
No problem. Done.
Okay.
Done. I'll handle it.
Now, I'm hoping that Jacob DeGrom is doing all right. He left the game after 5 innings yesterday, came out to warm up for the 6th, and had to be taken out of the game. How's he doing? Well, that matters. Let's find out from the Mets manager, Luis Rojas.
He's going for an MRI just to see what's going on there, see how he is, and have a clear view. You know, right side tightness. It's what we have from our medical staff here, more so in his lower back area. On the right side, but they're taking a look. So, you know, once we get the results back, we'll know how he is.
So, Rick, didn't he just have an MRI a couple days ago on this?
Yes.
So they act as if they have not done an MRI on him.
Well, apparently it's not the same. The issue is not in the same spot. What they MRI'd the initial time was on his lat, and they noticed lat inflammation. This feels like according to what I heard, this is lower in his back on the right side.
I'm worried.
Well, how could you not be worried? I mean, this all gets hand in hand, right? I mean, if it starts, you know, towards your lat on the right side, now it's worked its way down. I mean, you're left to ask the question, like, did he give himself enough time before he pitched?
Yeah, I mean, all right. Did he give himself enough time, or did the Mets just not exercise enough caution here? Because when that happened, I have to tell you, I was thoroughly annoyed. Because had they just put him on the IL last week and it would have been retroactive and they had given him a few extra days, I mean, would he have been okay if he had waited a couple of more days before he went out and pitched? I don't know, but I have to think that there would have been a better shot at it. And when that happens, even if it did move down a little bit, it's still in a very similar spot. So to me, that's – and Jacob DeGrom is going to tell you when he's ready to go. I get that. But when can you 100% trust him to tell you that he's ready to go versus just exercising some caution and giving him an extra few days? That's what bothered me the most.
No, I know, and it bothers me too. And we talked about this on Friday. I mean, it's, again, this is eerily similar to what we've seen from the Mets, right? It starts off as, oh, don't worry, it's a little inflammation. And then before you know it, the guy's on guy's on the IL with a torn muscle somewhere. I get the from what I've heard so far and some of the people that I've talked to, it seems like Jacob DeGrom kind of dictates when he comes out of games, when he's going to pitch, if he needs an extra day. And, you know, clearly he said, okay, I'm good. I can pitch on Sunday. And that obviously, after what he went through in the fifth inning, was not the case. Because now, I mean, we're in a situation where, again, we, as Mets fans, await an MRI and fingers crossed everything looks okay moving forward.
Yeah, I think you have to be worried. I mean, he's the crown jewel of this organization right now. And you say that he dictates it. I'm kind of okay with that, to be honest with you. I mean, really, he's that important to this team that if he says I can go more, or I can, or I got to be done, or I need a day off, or I have to go on the IL, I'm fine with him dictating things with this organization. Now, Rick, you said that it was a different injury. Let's get the update from the manager. He was asked yesterday, Luis Rojas, that is this a different injury than last week's?
Yeah, it's different. It's the right side, but now it's more like in the lower back area rather than, you know, a little higher where it was. The tightness. No pain whatsoever. So it's just tightness. That's what he told our trainer. And we'll see. Like I said, we sent him to get an MRI today, Sunday, and we'll see when we get the results back how he is.
No good.
I get it that he should dictate based on who he is and what he's accomplished. But isn't there a line there somewhere, Rick?
Yep.
So where's that line? See, to me, when it's early in the season, and this is a team that has legitimate feelings of being able to contend, when it's a couple of more days, I'm not talking about shutting them down for another week. It's a couple of more days. I don't see what the harm is in saying, let's just do this to be extra safe on it.
There's nothing wrong with it. But on the flip side of that, there's nothing wrong with it at all, Chris. But if he said, I mean, he is the biggest star in baseball right now. Okay? Mm-hmm. If he says, I'm good to go, I want to pitch, I'm fine, I don't have an issue. I really don't with them saying,
well,
right,
I'm going to have an issue with him now then if that's the case. Because once he comes out of the game, doesn't this now make you think moving forward, all right, how much can I trust what he's telling me versus what I see? Because I think we'd all agree, even though he was perfect through the first, four innings yesterday, he still looked like he was walking around a little bit gingerly most of the afternoon.
That was not vintage DeGrom yesterday at all. From the first batter of the game, who hit a line drive to center field, Conforto made a great play in the first inning. He was wild. His pitches were nowhere near the strike zone. A lot of them. He walked multiple guys in the fourth inning. You're 100% right. He was not right. It's a testament to how great he is, Rick, that he can give you five innings of one-run ball, pick up the win, and it's probably nowhere near being 100%, but he was nowhere near 100% yesterday.
No, the last couple starts, you can see something's going on with him. And Chris, to your point about when, you know, you're okay in most circumstances, like during the course of a game, right? Like it's, you know, he's getting close to 100 pitches. How do you feel? Okay, I'm good. I can go one more inning. Like that's all good stuff. Like that's when you want your ace to kind of dictate what he's going to do. But every athlete's natural instinct is, no, don't worry. I'm fine. I can get through it. And that's when you need to lean on the medical staff to protect the player from himself. Like you did an MRI. There's inflammation in his lat area. that doesn't just all of a sudden over a couple, the course of a couple days, just disappear. Like, you got to step in. Okay, you say you're fine. Listen, you know how important you are to this team. Let's take a step back. Let's just give it a couple extra days just to make 100% sure that this isn't something that lingers. And now we're at a point, clearly this is something that is going to linger now. Because, I mean, this is another MRI in the course of a couple days.
All right, so let's argue for a minute that it doesn't turn out to be devastating. Let's say he misses, you know, 10 days or a couple weeks or whatever. Right. Okay? Rick, what I want to know is, if you're the medical staff, if you're the Mets, and you're going based on his information, with that in mind, trying to protect him from himself, where now is the line moving forward of trusting what he is saying versus trusting what you are seeing? Because to me, for the medical staff, for Luis Rojas, like, he just lost a little bit of credibility in that. And I know he's trying to do the right thing, but now maybe I have to back off how much say you get to have in that situation.
No, listen, in my opinion, you don't, very rarely do you trust, if you're the medical staff, you don't necessarily trust what an athlete tells you. You don't. I mean, you'll listen to what they're telling you, but you're going to go off what you see. And that's your job as a trainer, to go on what you see. And it aggravated me last week when it was like, oh, all of a sudden he went from going into an MRI machine, you got inflammation and tightness, and all of a sudden he's going to make his next start. Like, yeah, he's going to throw a side session and see how he feels. Why are we even throwing a side session? Like, let's just shut it down for a couple days.
Because that's, I'm sure, what he wants to do. Do we know that the medical and training staff said, we don't want you to pitch, and he overran them and said, I'm pitching on Sunday?
I haven't seen that.
Right. No one's saying that. But that's not, you don't have to overrule them. They're going to say, how do you feel? And obviously they want him to pitch. He's their best pitcher, right? They want him to pitch. Oh, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Okay, and he goes and throws out. He throws his, you know, his side session. Okay, I'm fine. Okay, you say you're fine, you can pitch. But that's not always how it should be. When a guy's as important to your team as Jacob DeGrom is, sometimes you just have to pull him aside and say, hey, listen, I know what you're going to tell us. You're fine. Please do us a favor. We're going to give it a couple of extra days just to make sure this thing calms down. Mm-hmm. We don't want this to lead to something worse, which, God forbid, this is something worse. Because we had to have him make his next start.
Yeah, I'm blown away by the fact that this could happen. I mean, I want to, as great as he is, yes, I understand getting to determine what you're going to do, but it should not have been this hard to just sit back for a few more days and somebody to get to him and say, we know how important you are. You know how important you are. We can deal with a few more days.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlin is sabotaging our guests on the show.
Well, what happened now?
So, Jay Williams was supposed to join us at 5:30 this morning. You knew this, right?
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
He got a, and I'll use air quotes, a flat tire. So he couldn't join us at 5:30.
Interesting.
Do you know why he got the flat tire?
No, I don't.
Apparently, he hates Carlin. Chris, I'll give you the floor for a moment. Why don't you tell us the story? You've had him booked how many times, and never once has he shown up? He doesn't like you,
well,
does he?
I guess not. And we've never spoken, but all I can tell you is I've filled in a bunch, obviously, over the last couple of months with Bart on Bart and Han. And Jay Will is on with them every Tuesday. And every single time, and I'm not talking about one or two, like it's been like four times. Every single time I've been there on a Tuesday, it's been one reason or another that he has bailed out. Now, he's had a lot going on in his life, you know, personally and all that stuff, and, you know, all good. But
Don't make excuses, Carlin.
No, I'm just, I'm sorry. It is a red flag when I look up it again, and at 5:30 this morning, I hear that he's got a flat tire, and I look up at 6, and there he is on the screen. I mean, I don't see any oil on his hands from having fixed a tire on the side of the BQE. So, am I sorry? Am I wrong to question what's going on here?
No, but here's the thing. He hates you. He doesn't like you.
But what did I do to you?
I don't know, but now he's taking it out on our show. He always shows up for us.
Exactly. I'm sorry that I'm sabotaging you. I don't know what I did. I just want to know what I did.
We have to get him on the air.
I think it is?
At some point.
I think it's your boy, Rick. I think it's your boy, Han, telling him, stay away.
That wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now, listen, he very rarely does his own show. So to ask him to be a guest on our show, maybe that's just too much.
I mean, listen, I had Han as a good guy, but getting in his ear, hey, listen. If Fatty shows up, maybe you dial it back, huh?
But why?
You get a flat tire.
So now you're telling me you have an issue with Han and you have an issue with Jay Williams?
You, all I'm left to do is speculate. That's the problem, because we have a giant hole of ether here and no explanation as to why every time, and this is easily now five times. That's not coincidence, Dave.
And never
it's
once
not.
You've never spoken to the gentleman. Never
Zero.
Once has he joined any show that you've been on to have conversation.
Not once. Not once.
And, he hates you.
I've never met him.
I think it's fair to say you never will.
Yeah. I've seen him over at the Seaport. You know, he looks in. Oh, there's somebody in there in that room preparing. But, I didn't go out and say hello. We're both Jersey guys. You know, I don't know what I could have done to, frankly, be treated this way.
Well, I think it's very apparent that he hates you. And I think now it's very apparent that he's taking it out on our show because of his hatred for you.
Well, this week he's taking it out on your show.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure he'll be back here next Monday morning, 5:30. Is it a weekly thing for you guys?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. Has he ever missed before?
Well, he missed had a baby.
Dave, we could count his spot before the tournament as a miss.
When he pushed me to take Illinois to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Count that as a miss.
Well, that's fine. I'm looking up, and this does not look like a man that had a flat tire.
So you
on
think
the
he's
side
lying?
Of the turnpike.
You think he did not see? Now, if he didn't have a flat tire, he's a bad guy. If he came with the flat tire excuse and didn't have a flat tire, he's a bad guy.
Wait, but my question is, if he had a flat tire at 5:30,
yes.
How am I looking up and he looks like he spent a half hour in the makeup chair? You know, I mean, looks brilliant on television. Right,
here's
six.
The other thing, though, too. You guys feel this way? When you're going to make up a lie, the flat tire lie is not one that I ever like to make up.
Oh, it's terrible. It's amateur lie. It's because amateur lie, Rick. Excellent point. Once again, cogent, salient, brilliant. I mean, if you're going to make up lies, you have to sometimes get a little bit more intricate to make them feel like they're legit. I had a flat tire? No. Why don't you just tell me it was the locusts? You know,
now, if this man had a flat tire and can produce proof of said flat tire, Carlin, you're the bad guy now.
Yes, absolutely. And I will accept that. But I got to tell you, pretty confident, no flat tire.
Is there any chance that we can get him to join us during a break of their show?
No, there's RJ.
Well, as long as I'm here, clearly not.
No. RJ, put in a call. Get him on. Just 90 seconds. We'll grill him about the flat tire. If he hates Carlin, and we'll move on.
Here's what he's going to say. Who? That's exactly what he's going to say.
Well, clearly, he clearly hates you. Friday night, the Mets. Rick, this stuff happens. But the way they handle it, to me, is kind of the norm at this point, where if there's a situation, the Mets are going to handle this in a bizarre manner, right? But teammates fight. You've seen it a million times, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, teammates fight all the time. Well, listen, on the best teams that I've ever played on, we had, I mean, fights all the time in practice. Sometimes they would spill into the locker room because, I mean, you're around these guys more than you're around your family. So there's going to be times where you get frustrated with one another. And, I mean, there was a case where Lindor and McNeil got frustrated. I mean, I think Lindor was the one that was more frustrated than Jeff McNeil, and it spilled into the tunnel. I don't understand why Francisco Lindor chose to handle it the way that he handled it after the game. Like, why don't you say, listen, we had a misunderstanding, miscommunication, we had some words in the tunnel, and that was it. I don't know why he had to go the whole, it was a rat, a raccoon ordeal after the game.
That felt to me like a first-time New York athlete trying to handle the situation in a way that would diffuse it, and it just makes it worse. You know, he's trying to goof around with it. And let's call it what it is. I mean, it made it a bigger, dumber story than it needed to be.
All you need to do is come out and say, you know what? It was a misunderstanding. We kind of went at it for a minute. We're totally fine. I think he's a great teammate and a great guy. And it's done. This stupid, immature, it was a rat. It was a raccoon. We couldn't tell.
A raccoon.
I thought someone said it was a rat, no?
No, that's how we pronounce raccoon, is raccoon. I said it was a rat. McNeil said it was a raccoon. And then all of a sudden, McNeil was like, no, I'm a squirrel, you know what? Boom. Popped him one quick.
Is it pronounced?
How about that? That squirrel can water ski.
No, it's raccoon. Isn't it raccoon? I hate raccoons. But Lindor was calling it a raccoon. And now it's turned into
a raccoon?
Yeah, did you listen to him after the game? He said it was a raccoon.
Let's take a listen now. Here is Francisco Lindor on the situation between him and McNeil.
I was mad on the field because I didn't make the play, so that's why it probably looked like I was angry. And then Jeff, obviously because I was going against him, whether it was a rat or a raccoon, of course he's going to be mad.
He's going to be mad because you were debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon?
Yeah, man.
I love that. He was going to be mad because you were debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon. Like you can't even make sense of this kind of stuff now.
You got a rat the size of a raccoon in that tunnel, you got bigger issues.
I love the fact that there was a degree of sincerity in the question.
Oh, it was complete. You're telling me that the fight was between a rat and a raccoon? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Let's hear Jeff McNeil's side of the rat-raccoon story.
You know, we just like to have fun, and rats in, you know, New York are a thing. So, you know, he thought he saw that, and, you know, I saw what I saw, and, you know, that's just the way it is.
Are you okay with people not believing that?
They can believe whatever they want. You know, we're, you know, a tight-knit group. You know, everybody loves everybody, and, you know, it's just a, you know, great group of guys, great clubhouse. You know, we have a lot of fun, and, you know, just a lot of positivity, you know, between, you know, this group.
You know, we thought it was the Wilpons for so long, and I know that they were dysfunctional in their own way, but I don't think this is entirely on the Wilpons at this point. The Mets are still a very immature baseball team.
It's amazing. I mean, everybody everybody justifiably assumed that this part of it had left the building last November, and I certainly did. The way things are handled, though, is just mind-boggling at times. Absolutely mind-boggling, and you would hope that it's just stupid drama. It's stupid drama that doesn't really need to happen. And listen, I didn't get that worked up about it because it's like, all right, they're trying to handle it this way. They obviously have no idea that it's actually just making it bigger than it needs to be. And so all the rest of the weekend, every camera shot, and they knew it, was going to be of Lindor every time McNeil did something. I mean, I'll give it to him. And Rick, I don't know where you come down on this. I thought Lindor oversold it a bit a couple of times. Like when McNeil homered, you know, Lindor's super, he's jumping up and down in the on-deck circle.
I mean, Carlin, you're probably right, but this is a new experience for him. Yeah. And I think you were right on the money when you said the whole rat-raccoon thing was kind of in his mind with that smile was kind of like, this is going to be my fun way to defuse the situation. You guys kind of already knew what happened, but I'm just going to make a fun story to kind of hopefully it dies down. I will say though, whatever happened in that dust up, it worked.
Yep.
Whatever frustrations they got out, I mean, it worked.
Yeah, Lindor's hitting the baseball a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, I mean, of all the Mets that I could imagine, like if I was a teammate, like wanting to punch in the face, I think McNeil's probably right at the top of the list.
Yeah. You'd like to punch him in the face?
No, like if there was like a guy that I could see like maybe like getting on my nerves a little bit.
He'd be the guy?
Like I think he'd be the one I would point to that I could see.
Listen, if he hits home runs and gets on base, that's enough.
I would have picked Nimmo for you. You know, sprinting to first base. You know, the whole thing pointing to the sky after a walk.
Yeah, but he's so nice though, Carlin. That's one of those guys that's like annoying, but he's so nice that you can't really, you know, like he's kind of a little off.
Yeah, the fact that he's from Wyoming, like, all right, it's possible that's just what he is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Jay Williams, he hates you. RJ, did you get in touch with their producer and see if he'll join us for 90 seconds at some point during the show?
So I don't think today's going to work, but we will have at some point. At least that's what I'm told.
Yeah.
At some point this week. Okay, and we will get to the bottom of the beef with Carlin and
So here's the thing. Williams. Tomorrow I'm doing 12 to 2 with, you know, for Bart and Hahn with Wischusen. He is supposed to be on every Tuesday. So if he doesn't show again, I mean, that to me is when, I mean, we got to go at that point.
You want to fight him?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Well, what did you mean we got to go?
I think that's where the relationship is just dead.
Well, you think it's salvageable now? You're 0 for 5 with him as a guest.
I don't know. I want to believe in just the possibility that there were unforeseen circumstances in each spot. But, like, all I can tell you is if I was out there changing a flat tire at 5:30 a.m., I'd be a sweaty, sweaty mess.
Can you change a flat tire?
I can. I choose not to.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you got a flat on the side of the turnpike, you're calling AAA.
Yes, I am calling AAA. But I would say this. If it is going to be a wait of more than 30 minutes, then I am going to fix the flat tire.
Rick, I have zero doubt that you can change a flat tire.
I can, in fact, change a flat tire. Yes, Dave.
Yep.
You although I did make a... here's the one thing, though. I'm not sure if you've ever heard the story before. I did... How do I put this? So... Back with the Islanders.
What do you mean, how do I put this? Where well, I thought I was because well, you have to start it out with how do I put this?
Well, because I was trying to be a really good guy, and under the circumstances, I didn't have to be a really good guy with how this person treated me. So Yanni Nienema, defenseman, got traded to the Islanders. Now he was staying at the hotel, didn't have his car, so I would pick him up for practice. So I'd say, okay, you know, I'm going to pick you up at this time. I like to be early. Make sure you're ready in the lobby. I'd pull up. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So I'd have to go in, and he'd be sitting there reading the newspaper at breakfast. I'm like, "What are you doing?" I said, "We need to leave at 8. It's already 8:20." Oh, I'm sorry. Just let me pay the bill. And that was like almost every day. Then he'd come That's into awful. My car, and then he would immediately change the radio station, and he put in like his death metal, like raging death metal. So, like, this went on for weeks, and finally he's like, okay, yeah, my car is going to be, I got this beautiful, and he explained it as like this, you know, BMW truck, it's going to be delivered from Edmonton, and then I'll be able to drive myself, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, please, like, get this car, I'll pay to get it expedited, let's get this thing here as soon as possible. So, truck finally shows up, now he can drive himself, which was great. So, there was a practice in the Coliseum, and Cassie had dropped me off at practice because she had to go run some errands over by the Coliseum. So, I'm coming out of the front. And Yanni's truck is sitting in the circle in front of the Coliseum, and it's got a flat tire. And now he's sitting there. He doesn't know how to change the flat tire. And he looked at me as like, can you change the flat tire? And I was like, oh, God.
So you did, didn't you?
I did, because I wanted to be a good guy. Little did I realize in this fancy new BMW truck that he had, that, and I thought I was awesome. When I tell you I thought I was awesome, I got the jack out. This thing's up. And I'm cranking the jack, the tire. The back tire's coming off the ground. And then all of a sudden it was like... And I was like, uh-oh, what's that sound? Still cranking. And I was like, uh-oh, what's going on here?
So hang on a second. It's making a god-awful noise, and you think to yourself,
let's
ignore that. Let's just keep going
I thought it could be the jack. It could be the back axle, whatever. But I'm so close. Like, I could see the finish. Like, this tire is completely almost off the ground, so I can change this thing. Boom, I'm a hero. And then just as I give it that last crank to get that tire off the ground, the car comes barreling down through bounces on the ground. I had jacked the jack right through the floor of the back seat.
You ruined the guy's car.
Yes.
Now, at that moment, were you like, all right, well, listen, good luck with you? Or
no,
you
he's the best
around?
Part. Yeah, he's like, the look on his face was a disgust. And then it was perfect. Some guy that worked at the Coliseum, security guard, comes walking by and looked at the car and was like, whew, you better hope it don't rain today.
You ruined the guy's brand new car.
Yeah,
oh,
shredded.
That's fantastic.
Did he ask you to pay for it?
No, he didn't ask me to pay for it.
Did you pay for it?
I didn't pay for it.
I mean,
no, he asked me to help. I mean, I made a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think he's obligated to pay for it.
No. But you and I both know people that in that instance would demand that you pay for it.
Now, did this sever the relationship moving forward here?
It wasn't. You know, I wasn't good for the relationship. It was not good.
I'll give you credit for hanging in as long as you did. If somebody kept doing that every morning to me, being late every morning when I'm doing them a solid. And you're talking about weeks when that happened. I know Yanni Niedema was a star when that happened, but still, like, that's pretty magnanimous of you.
I was trying to be a good teammate, you know what I'm saying? I was being a good, but it wasn't even being late. Like, late was bad. Dude, the death met, like, oh my God. It was
The whole thing. But going in every morning, like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. It's like every single morning. Tell me if you guys noticed this. You might have no idea what I'm talking about. So during the Mets broadcast now, all of a sudden they started doing this thing, and I can't stand it, where they kind of have, like, they're trying to do, like, this fancy two shot where they put, like, the melded shot in the middle and then, like, the pitcher on the one side and the batter on the other. Have you seen that?
I did see that, yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Of all the things, that's the one thing.
I don't know. It bothers me tremendously. It looks horrendous. I don't know who looked at that and said, yes, let's do that. Let's have these two shots side by side with, like, some melded background in the middle. It looks awful.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know who looked at that and said yes, but that's just because I worked there for 8.5 years. They're always trying to find something, right? They're trying to find something that will differentiate the broadcast a little bit more. The thing is, Dave, you brought this out earlier. I can watch the game, and I know we need to go for the younger demographic and all that stuff. I don't think there's anything about the Mets broadcast that really needs to, at the moment, be addressed like that.
I think you could argue it's the best broadcast team in all of baseball. I mean, they are phenomenal. And I don't need melded shots of the batter and the pitcher on two sides of the screen.
I can see that. I could absolutely. It doesn't aggravate me like it aggravates you, but I can see that. They take some swings sometimes. But
okay. But let's say this did not work. This does not work. Let's bury it and let's be done with it.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Right. I still am chuckling over Keith when the lights went out in St. Louis last week. Oh, God, how long am I going to be here?
This could take a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Keith is that, like, there's no pretense about anything. There is, yeah, he is who he is on the air, off as well.
He's awesome. Speaking of awesome, Mets bullpen has been awesome. Best in baseball for the last month or so. Yankees bullpen, awesome as well. Now, bad Friday, right? I mean, Loaizaga got hammered. Yeah. But Saturday, Sunday, I mean, what a great job by the Yankees bullpen. And that's the thing. If you're 1-1 going into the eighth and you're a fan of the Yankees, you love your chances every single night.
Yeah, but talk about a reversal, though, too, right? I mean, you just mentioned how good the Mets bullpen has been.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Yankees starting rotation. I mean, I was looking at some over the last 20 games, they have their starting rotation has the best ERA in baseball, which was a huge concern going into the season, wasn't it? Especially early on.
Absolutely. And I mean, listen, I'm one of the guys that said Kluber looked shot, and he's been much better. He wasn't great on Saturday, but he's much better.
He was good.
He's giving him a chance. He's giving him a decent chance to win the game. Before that, he was brilliant in the start before that. Herman has been much, much, much better since they, and it was only a clerical thing, but since they sent him down for a week to get an extra start in, just as sharp as can be. Tyon's been better. The whole thing. I really did not believe in any one of those guys to be able to be a true number two, because it felt like it was Cole, and then just give me some innings. Somebody give me five so that I can work with that. Because up until, I think it was after the Tampa series a couple of weeks ago, they were averaging less than five innings per start, even with Gerrit Cole in that mix.
Which is not sustainable. I mean, like, if this team is going to compete and win a World Series, I mean, this is one of their strengths is their bullpen. Unless you do such an awful job during the regular season of, you know, eating innings with your rotation that you're going to have to go to the well too many times and you wear them down. And that's where they were headed. There's something to be said. I mean, that's happened over the last couple of years too.
Yeah,
I mean, we've had Zach Britton say, like, it's not a straight. If they see us every day, it's not a strength anymore.
That's right. And you can't use the same guys over and over and over again. Here is Aaron Boone talking about two walk-off wins and what it means for this team right now.
Well, I just think we're continuing to play better. You know, it goes back now, you know, a couple of weeks. Again, I keep saying I don't think we're all the way there. Certainly offensively, I know there's more in there for us, and we're going to find our stride. But there's no question we're in every aspect of the game playing a lot better baseball, playing more winning baseball, and that's what we got to continue to build on.
Gleyber was good, right? Had a couple hits, had the big home run finally. Took him forever. I think of all the guys, like the most at-bats so far this season, he was like second or third as the most at-bats without hitting a home run. But he finally broke the schneid there. And listen, would you like to see them hit more? Sure. But their starting pitching has been really good. Their bullpen has been great. And now they're feels like they're kind of back.
Yeah. And the funny thing to me is just that I don't know that I've ever seen Judge and Stanton actually going well at the same time together. Because, you know, Stanton's going great right now. And now Judge can't hit a beach ball to save his life. So that to me is it's one of the more underrated aspects of what's going on, is that Stanton has been as good as he has, but also that you just can't get the two of them together at the same time. They didn't hit the cover off the ball this weekend. They pitched and won some games. When you only have five hits yesterday, but Torres, you know, homering as he did, I just look at it and think that at some point, as much as strikeouts are such a massive part of the game now, somebody's got to get a little bit better in situational hitting. Maybe that's going to end up being Hicks, who's been better lately.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you're still talking about a team that's based on, I mean, their offense is supposed to be what carries the day. Mm-hmm. Offense, bash the hell out of you, and then pass the game over to your bullpen, and they close the show. I mean, even in those games, I mean, you got dominated by Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer gave up two hits.
How good was he?
The game before that, I mean, the Friday game where, I mean, the eighth inning was a debacle, an absolute debacle. Defense was awful. Loaiza was bad. But you only had five hits in that game. You only had two against Scherzer. You ended up with six in the game. And then on Sunday, the walk-off win, you had five hits. So you're not. I mean, it's still a struggle.
Yes, but at least you're winning games. It's a lot easier to deal with this when you're winning baseball games as opposed to when you're losing them.
No, correct. And that's why we're not talking about it. I mean, that's why we're not talking about it as a negative. But there still is. I mean, they still are not hitting.
Look, you're right. Schwarber hits a two-run homer yesterday. If they scratch a run across and the Yankees lose 3-2, we're probably all very upset. Well, I think the Yankees fan is very upset. You lose that series that you shouldn't have to Washington. You're still not hitting the baseball. Sanchez is struggling and you know, scuffing at the plate. There's all sorts of issues. But you win those games, and winning is the magic elixir, and it makes all the negative go away, or most of it, certainly.
I think Brad Hand was a magic elixir for
the
weekend.
Wow, yes, he was. He is brutal, huh?
Oh, my God.
He doesn't know where the strike zone is.
Oh. No, Hand, he's not doing his job.
Yeah, he was terrible on Saturday.
you see, you know what the thing is?
I caught it. I was just going. I was trying to move
forward. Go. Just go. Just go.
See, this is the thing, Dave. It's my instinct, and I catch it with Rick. Just keep going. Don't worry.
Just keep
about
going. You're right. You're better than I am. I can't. You know what? It's like rubbernecking for me. Like, we're driving past the accident. You know it's over there on the other side of the road. I can't help it. I'm the guy that I have to look and I have to call it out. You're better.
No. I would just say, but you got to. It's point of context, right? I work with Bart for like 2.5-3 years, so I kind of know, and let's move on. Like, there's almost times where you just want to move on with it as if you're calling it a baseball game. Rick makes that comment, and I say, they're 2-2. So you just get right back into it.
That's right. The 2-2, high and outside. All right, here's Aaron Boone. Torres really needed that home run.
I think it's more of an exhale, a little bit of a relief to get that out of the way. You know, Gleyber's confident, even when he's struggling, and the reality is he has been getting a lot of big hits for us and holding his own. He just hasn't really clicked hitting for power yet, and that'll come. But it was really good to see him get a really good swing off a no-doubter to left where he's behind the ball and gets his A swing in. So I think it's more of a little bit of a relief and an exhale and kind of get that monkey off your back. And hopefully, you know, he just onward and upward now.
I've said this with the Mets the entire time, and I stand by it with the Yankees as well. They're just too talented offensively to struggle throughout the season. I have to figure when the weather gets warmer and you face the Orioles and the Royals and the dregs of the American League, which you will, they will be fine offensively.
Well,
but
I mean, after
saying that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with you. Go ahead, Rick. I mean, I feel the way that at some point you have to think that that's not going to be enough to keep believing in that when it's not happening.
Yeah, I know, Dave. You keep saying that. And I mean, on paper, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's too much talent. But again, I mean, we've heard that, you know, week after week. Oh, once it starts to get warmed up, these bats are going to come alive. And Stanton, to his credit.
He's been red hot, yeah.
He's been red hot. Although leading into, I mean, that game-winning hit, he was 0 for 10 going into that at-bat. So, I mean, he cooled down a little bit too. But, I mean, for the Yankees, that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, the starting pitching has stepped up. It's been really, really good. The bullpen is exactly what we expected it to be. A couple hiccups there with Green and Loaisiga, but that's going to happen during the course of 162 games with as much as you use them. But, I mean, the offense has been underwhelming. It has.
Rick, I just... When you are so much of a team that is so reliant on the home run and you are feast or famine, that's why to me LeMahieu was so important to get back, and he hasn't even been what he can be yet or what he should be. That's why there's not enough guys here who are good enough, and I'm not talking about the small ball crap either. Just situational hitting. Just, you know, being able to get a base hit. So many times when they get two strikes on them or they don't hit the one pitch that they're going to get to hit, they're giving up in at bats. And it's not just them. It's teams all over baseball. It's almost more of a mentality now of, well, I'm not going to hit a home run. I'm not going to get a pitch to hit a home run. So, you know, I'm good. You know, the strikeout's not that big of a deal.
Look, I still think they're going to have issues in the postseason. Like, I still believe that. But
oh, yeah.
But you don't think they win this division? You're not there, Carlin?
No, I think they win the division because I think the division stinks.
Right. The division stinks, and the Red Sox will come back to the norm, and the Yankees will probably win this division comfortably. But I agree with you guys as far as big picture. Do I think that the Yankees are going to go on a run and win the World Series? I find that very hard to believe right now.
I would like to see them smack around Tampa Bay. I mean, it might be a nice little change of pace there for the one team that's, you know, been in your head at least and has frankly owned you for, you know, better than a year and a half now, at least.
Yeah, it's a big test for them. I mean, at some point, this is what's happened with the Rays is going to have to change in the favor of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees fans are going to have a
hammered in Tampa.
Oh, the
Yankees
fans
are going to fall apart. they're going to fall apart. Did you see this story, by the way? And Rick, you'll probably know the name of the horse. I don't follow horse racing enough to even know it. The Kentucky Derby winner, I guess.
Tested positive, yeah.
Tested positive, like mm-hmm. way over the limit for some performance-enhancing drug.
Well, I guess it's considered performance-enhancing. It was for pain. It was a steroid they used for pain. And he had, I mean, it was, yeah.
Now you're making excuses for the horse.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm sure that the horse didn't inject itself.
Well, I know you're talking from the athlete's perspective here, Rick, yeah, exactly. But come on.
like the thorough, you know, us thoroughbreds.
Hear what owner Bob Baffert has to say?
Horse had Jose Canseco in the stall.
Bob Baffert, the owner of, what is it, Santiago? Medina what?
Spirit.
Medina Spirit had to say it. First of all, he talks about it so seriously. And breaks it down so seriously and was, I have no idea how something like this could possibly happen. And then goes on to say that in the entire scenario here, guys, the one that he really feels badly for is the horse. Here's Bob Baffert.
This has been horrible for the horse. He ran his heart out, and I just hate seeing this for him to go through this, and it's just tough.
Horrible for the horse. The horse doesn't know anything. The horse is thinking like, boy, I would love to get my next meal. The horse doesn't, they don't know what's happening. He feels horrible for the horse.
For the horse to have to answer these questions.
Oh, my God. I mean, the media scrutiny for this horse is it's a terrible situation.
Oh, my God.
That's he feels just horrible for that the horse would have to endure stuff like
this.
That is the integrity of the horse.
I'm Mr. Red.
Oh, my God.
Feel horrible for the horse.
Baffert. And like, he is, you know, so the guy that when you have a ton of money and you want to win, you bring your horse to him to train him because he knows how to cheat the best.
Maybe not, though. I mean, he just got blatantly caught here cheating.
Yeah. Well, up until now. Exactly. And I don't know how it could have happened. No, not at all.
No, not at all. It's only the fifth horse of Baffert's to fail a drug test in just over a year.
The Rafael Palmeiro of horse owners.
The horse is just up there. Did you cheat? I did not, and I never, absolutely never would. I love the sound. Can we hear the soundbite again? This is sensational.
This has been horrible for the horse. He ran his heart out, and I just hate seeing this for him to go through this, and it's just tough.
Is he going to the horse now and saying, nobody can ever take this away from you?
Do you think the horse has any idea what he's going through? He's probably like, I could take a dump right there. I feel bad
for the horse.
Feel bad for the horse.
Well, now this could affect his ability to stud, though, now. I mean, that could be a problem.
The
Kentucky Derby.
If you like horses, and I do like horses...
Oh my God!
It's a big deal. It's a big deal day for that horse.
Don't let this take anything away from the horse. The greatness of the run from the horse. All right,
you can never take it away.
I don't care what anybody says about you, Mr. Ed. You won that Derby.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.